In the name of Jesus, amen. Trinity Sunday today, where we remember the Holy Trinity. That's why we use the Athanasian Creed. Once a year we pull that out, make it through. It's white to remind us of the holiness of the Trinity. It was red last weekend. It'll be a different color next weekend. Come and see, come and see. Our God is one God in three persons. Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But we don't have three gods, we just have one God. If that doesn't make sense to you, you're normal. It doesn't make sense to anybody. God is bigger than our heads. God is bigger than our understanding. He is both more complex and smaller than we realize. Scientists don't understand how our brains work. God made our brains. Scientists don't understand the complexity of the universe and how far it goes. God made all of that. God is bigger and smaller than we realize, and that is both a good thing and a humbling thing. We go through too many days thinking we're in charge. We're going to do what we want to do. And there's part of that that's good. Good for us to be responsible for our actions and for our behaviors. But at the end of the day, you are not the Lord of your life. God wanted you to be born, and so you were born. He made your heart start, and He's the one who will decide when your heart stops, because He is Lord, Lord of all. And you are either a tool of God or you are a servant of God. But either way, you are not the Lord of your life, and you end up serving Him. Even the enemies of God serve Him. They don't realize it, and they don't do it willingly, but they serve Him because that's how big our God is. Jesus is Lord. Sometimes we think, well, it would be easier to believe in Jesus if we could have seen Him in person, the way the disciples did, face to face. That would actually have made it more difficult. Jesus, a young man, rose from the dead after He had been crucified. His disciples saw Him alive after He had died. That in itself would be a hard thing to wrap your mind around. And so we have that going on in our gospel lesson this morning. We are at the end of Matthew's gospel, and our Lord had told the disciples to go to this mountain on Galilee. And Matthew writes, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. We are three verses from the end of Matthew's gospel. From the end of the story, Jesus has died, He's risen again, disciples have been through all of it, and yet it still says, some of them doubted. So what does Jesus do? These are his main men. Does he chastise them? Does He criticize them? Does He like, oh, come on, you got to do better? No, he actually gives them more responsibility. He commissions them to go out and make disciples of all nations. Before He does that, He tells them why He can do that, because He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Jesus is probably about 33 years old at this time. I've got a son about that age. And he's standing on this mountain with these 11 men. That's not a big group. And he says, all of this, all authority has been given to Me. All authority in heaven and on earth. Now there's only two possibilities. Either that's true or it's not true. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus takes these 11 men. He tells them He's got all authority, and now He's going to say, I want you to go out and make disciples. Don't just tell your friends, your family, or the guys you work with. You're going to make disciples of all nations. And here's how you're going to do it. You got to take this 2-year course. You got to learn this 7-point outline. You got to do these things. No, that's not what Jesus says. He says you're going to make disciples of all nations by doing 2 things. Baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, to obey everything I've commanded you. And by doing those 2 things, you will make disciples of all nations. That sounds impossible. And it is. But with God, all things are possible. As they do those 2 things, who goes with them? Jesus does. That's why Jesus says, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Sometimes people will want to take that verse and isolate it and say, well, you know, God's always with me. It says that in the Bible. Jesus said, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's a bit out of context. When Jesus says those words, he's talking to the disciples, reminding them that as they baptize and as they teach his word, Jesus is with them in their doing that. That's why it works. Our Lord's ministry lasted about 3 years. Took place in an area that you could cover by car in about 2 hours. Jesus never wrote a book, never had his picture taken, never made a movie, but the message of what he has done has spread throughout the world and throughout time, throughout the centuries, beginning with those 11 men. The apostles would take the message so far, and then they would appoint other men just as Jesus had appointed them, and they would keep passing it on. And as long as there are people who have not heard the message of salvation, as long as Jesus has not yet returned, that will continue. There's no other choice. And so it still goes on today. Jesus is the one who still makes disciples today by that incredible way of baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching the fullness of obeying God's word. So we don't trick people into church. We don't use clever gimmicks or techniques. Oh, you can do that. And you might get people in once or twice. But that does not make them followers of Jesus. We cannot control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit converts whom he wants. And there are no guarantees. You can't save yourself. You certainly can't save anybody else. The Holy Spirit has to do all of that work, and he does. When we hear the Word of God being preached, the Spirit is at work in ways that go beyond our understanding, because the Spirit always accompanies the gospel. But the Spirit works on his own schedule. He determines when and if a person will be brought to faith. We don't have control over that. Some people will hear this Word of God throughout maybe a series of times, and they'll say, yeah, I believe that. I want to be baptized. I want to follow Jesus. Other people will hear that same word, and they'll walk away. Don't want that. Some people will even walk away from their baptism. As much as we would like to control or expand the kingdom of God by what we do, by using money or gimmicks or techniques, we are not in control. Or you might have all kinds of advisors and consultants and motivational speakers, but we cannot control the Holy Spirit. And when we try to, or when we think we can, we become idolaters, idol worshipers, and for that we need to repent. Jesus lives, and thanks be to God, like the wind, the Spirit blows where he wills. The church is built upon the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, that whole building, the church, is held together. And that he does all of that by his authority. that authority which goes out when his word is preached and taught, when we are baptized, we receive his Holy Supper. And that looks, it looks big and it looks small. Sometimes it looks really weak. Splash water, saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That looks pretty ordinary, but in that, we are made the children of God, and that cannot be destroyed. A man preaching to a sinful man, preaching to other sinful people about what God has done, seems kind of ordinary, but in that task, God is working faith in our hearts through His Word and Spirit. We come up to His altar rail and we receive a little sip of wine and a little piece of unleavened bread. And that, you know, that looks pretty ordinary, I suppose. And yet, in that gift, what do we receive? We receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Doesn't look much like much to our human eyes, but incredible things are happening. Because who has authority over all? Our God does. And that means He also has the authority to sustain you in the midst of every difficulty and challenge that would come your way. Christ has the power to do more than you could ever ask or imagine, and He builds you into His church. It may not look very impressive, may even look weak, may not look particularly successful, but it is the Lord's church. And the day will come. The day will come when you are in your grave and you will hear His voice. And you will be, I know that voice. That's the voice of my good shepherd calling me to a life that will never end. All because of what He has done for me as His very own. God, way bigger than we can think. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.